As the exciting intelligence from Germany traveled through America, it encountered resistance, for America was a region where class lines were still elastic, based on accomplishment and worldly success, not upon guarantees cemented in blood. Yet the tide was running toward a different form of reckoning. Horace Bushnell, famous Congregationalist pastor of Hartford, where the city park is named for him, thundered from his pulpit in 1837 that noble Anglo-Saxon blood must be preserved against pollution. By 1843, the big book in Unitarian Boston was The Goths in New England. German schooling seemed right for us because we were Germans. Germany held the answers for the grandchildren of Englishmen who had been Germans long ago. In 1848, at the height of the Irish Catholic menace, the American Whig Review published The Anglo-Saxon Race. That same year, the North American Review responded with The Anglo-Saxon Race. Now the Whig Review stirred the pot with its own spoon, the Anglo-Saxons and the Americans. Interest in the topic wouldn't quit, perhaps because the origin of species finally placed consideration of racial matters in public attention. Racial fervor was still at white heat in 1875, when a popular book, The Anglo-Saxon Race, Its History, Character, and Destiny, traveled with Chautauqua to every corner of the nation. The writings of William Henry Poole showed the Saxon race to be the lost tribes of Israel. To this day, most American Jews are unaware that a number of old family Anglo-Saxons still consider themselves to be the real Jews, and the nominal Jews imposters. Between 1833 and 1852, Franz Bopp published book after book of his spectacular multi-volume work, Comparative Grammar, which drove any lingering skeptics to cover. The Aryans were real. Case closed. Whatever guardian spirit watches over such things assigned to Sir Henry James Sumner Mayne, English comparative jurist and historian, the task of presenting Aryan tribal character and tying it to contemporary Anglo-Saxons. Mayne graduated from Cambridge in 1844 with a reputation of being the most brilliant classical scholar of all time, Michael Jordan of legal history. His Ancient Law, published in 1861, earned him a world-class reputation in one stroke. In a series of magnificent literary studies which followed, he brought to life the ancient world of Germania with singular felicity and power. Anglo-Saxons and Aryans lived again as one people. In the crucial year which saw Darwin's Descent of Man published, Mayne's spectacular Village Communities in the East and West showed the world the rough-hewn genius of the primitive Anglo-Saxon world. Mayne reiterated his contention that stranger adoption was among the critical discoveries which led to Anglo-Saxon greatness. This message fell on particularly fertile ground in New England, whose soil had been prepared for this exact message by centuries of reading the New England Primer, with its grim warning that children are only loaned to their parents. And what a message Mayne carried. Society thrived when children were detached from their own parents and cultures. It was a potent foundation on which to set the institution of forced schooling. Appearing shortly after the radical Massachusetts adoption law intended to disassemble Irish immigrant families, Mayne silenced the new institution's critics, paving the way for eventual resignation to long-term school incarceration, too. Quote, "The part played by the legal fiction of adoption in the constitution of primitive society and civilization of the race is so important that Sir Henry Sumner Mayne, in his Ancient Law, expresses the opinion that, had it never existed, the primitive groups of mankind could not have coalesced except in terms of absolute superiority on the one side and absolute subjection on the other. With the institution of adoption, however, one people might feign itself as descended from the same stock as the people to whose sacra gentilica it was admitted." From the Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, on adoption. In a grand stroke, Sir Henry provided enlightened justification for every form of synthetic parenting social engineers could conduct, including the most important, mass forced schooling.